welcome to SoFla Opinion Live with the South Florida Sun Sentinel Editorial Board. I am Ilana Sims, Deputy Editor of the Sun Sentinel Editorial Page. Rosemary O'Hara, our editor, is in Africa. She is at a program where she's learning about poverty in underdeveloped countries, so I know she'll come back with lots of insight to share with us and with you. I'm Ilana Sims, like I said, Deputy Editor of the Editorial Page, and I am joined with my esteemed colleagues, Gary Stein, who is the Senior Editorial Writer, and Andrew Reed, our newest Editorial Board member. I was not here last week to welcome you, so I want to say welcome. We're so happy to have you on board.
Thank you.
Here in our weekly SoFla Opinion Live chat, we discuss topics that affect you locally, and we also talk about national news because what happens in D.C. affects us here as well. And remember, we are also available as a podcast, so if you'd like to download us and listen to us on your drive in the car, why not? Go to sunsentinel.com/opinion/podcast.
Please,
we'd love to have you download us and listen to our chats. Recently, we uploaded a chat with Representative Ted Deutsch, a really interesting interview, so if you'd like to check that out, please do. So today we're going to be talking about some local issues. We're going to talk about the anniversary of Hurricane Andrew, which is upcoming, the Florida Panthers' endangered status, not the hockey team, but the actual cat, the fluoride issue in Boynton Beach, and also medical marijuana shops that are hitting a wall here in South Florida. Andy is going to be watching for your Facebook comments, so if you have a comment or you have questions, please type them into our comment section on Facebook. And we'll get to them, if we can, at the end of the chat.
Keep them clean.
Keep them clean, keep them nice. So, Gary, take it away.
Take it away, yes. Thursday, we've got an anniversary coming up of Hurricane Andrew. Many South Floridians, being as transient as we are in this area, we're not around then. But 25 years ago, Hurricane Andrew hit. It was Category 5. It was the worst storm, you know, we've had ever. And Hurricane Andrew did a lot of things, though. It changed the demographics a lot in South Florida. Many people came up from Dade County and moved into Broward County. It changed hurricane codes. Hurricane codes became much stronger, although they've been trying to weaken them this year, which is ridiculous. But I think one of the big things about Hurricane Andrew is the attitudes that changed after this storm hit. I mean, we used to take hurricanes very, very lightly. I remember I was here during Andrew, and I put up duct tape on some of my windows. That was how I was going to fight off Hurricane Andrew. We've changed a lot since then for the better. We've learned a lot of things. Nobody had shutters back then. Now everybody has shutters. Everybody has stormproof windows. Mm-hmm. So the whole attitude. Everybody takes it seriously now, which is good. We hope complacency hasn't set in. It's been a long time since Hurricane Wilma hit here, which was 2005. Mm-hmm. So it's been 12 years since we've even had a bad storm here. And Hurricane Andrew would be a reminder of that. But, I assume the TV shows, TV and everything will show you the pictures of what Florida City and Homestead and the others looked like 25 years ago. And some of those places haven't recovered, and they will not recover totally. So right. That's how bad the devastation was back then.
Were you here for the hurricane?
I was in Tallahassee. I wasn't in the path of the hurricane, but I had family members whose home was destroyed. Mm-hmm. And even 10 years after Andrew, people across the state were feeling the financial repercussions of it. Just try to get homeowners insurance in Florida. 10 years after the storm, they were telling you in Central Florida that, well, you can't get a rate here, or it's going to cost this much more because we're still suffering the effects of Andrew. So insurance companies that raked it in for decades in Florida and then had to pay out when the big, big one hit made the rest of us pay. And to some degree, we're all still paying.
Right.
It's harder to get insurance even today in pockets of the state.
I remember the night that hit. You're watching on TV, and now with you see the cone of death or whatever they call it now, and you see possible ways that hurricanes can go hit mountainous areas or whatever. when Andrew was coming, there was nothing to stop it. I just remember that distinctly, watching Andrew come across, and there was nothing in the way. Mm-hmm. And it was just a matter of where it was going to hit. At first, they thought it was going to hit further north than it did, closer to the county line. Mm-hmm. It was just an incredible time to be in South Florida.
Yeah, it's amazing when hurricanes that large strike, the immediate after effect is people, you know, saying, I'm going to get ready and preparing those hurricane kits and, you know, being ready. But then, you know, as time goes on, you know, people get nonchalant. And so I really hope the lesson sticks, you know, that people really take it seriously. And though we haven't had one for a while, being prepared is the best thing you can do to help your family.
One other thing, Andrew was the first storm that season, mm-hmm. and it was a very light storm season that year. So it only takes one,
I guess,
is the lesson. It was a very, very light storm season.
Wow. New topic, Florida Panthers.
Yeah, if you can believe it, the federal government's actually reconsidering the Panthers' endangered status. Now, this is a periodic review. They'll tell you that every few years or so they have to undertake, or maybe not have to, but that they undertake. But there's only about 230 Florida Panthers left, and that's an optimistic estimate.
230. Wow.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And their habitat is ever shrinking. There's not more room for panthers all of a sudden in the state of Florida. So that seems to be the real lingering threat to panthers, mm-hmm. just people gobbling up the space that they need to exist. So it's hard to imagine that even if the preservation efforts that have happened in recent decades are having a better effect on the territory that's left, that territory keeps getting smaller. And so these animals are even more endangered now than I would think than ever before. So it's hard to imagine that should be changed. Mm-hmm. The only people who seem to think it's a good idea are developers and ranchers and folks who, you know, feel the are limited by what they can do on their land or who have livestock at risk. But there's programs to help ranchers, and there's limits in place on development for good reason.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't the manatee status changed?
Yes, as I understand it, the manatee used to be an endangered species, and now it's a threatened species. Now, there's a significance to that just from the status alone. Like, if you think of an endangered species versus something that's not quite endangered, you're less likely to do everything you can to save it.
Of course, everybody wanted to save the manatee because they're very cuddly, supposedly. The panther's not exactly cuddly.
Not cuddly.
Well, when we picked the state animal, it was manatee versus panther, and Florida school children, I believe, voted the panther in by a big margin, so they find them cuddly enough.
Yeah.
And the manatee at least has the benefit of a territory that's not going away. You may have more boaters on the water,
right.
But the water's not, there's not less ocean. Mm-hmm. If anything, there's more ocean.
If the boaters ever slow down, we have more manatee.
Exactly. But the panther is running out of room to roam. And so I think it's a dangerous thing to think about easing protections on that.
When is this vote going to be up for consideration? When is the action taking place?
Well, it's a lengthy process. There's an end of August deadline for the public to chime in, and it's going through a federal review after that, not necessarily a vote. But the next step is kind of the public getting in their comments, written comments, mm-hmm. and then U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service taking those under consideration and going to the next step of review. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's something to keep on our radar screens for sure.
Definitely. Well, if you have something to say about that Florida panther and you want to chime in on the protections, be sure to get to the website that's necessary and make your voice heard, because the public is what's going to make the difference in cases like this. Okay, so now we're on to the fluoride issue in Boynton Beach, and I have a toothy alligator here. He's grinning. He's a toothy alligator. Some people are smiling about this fluoride issue in Boynton and some aren't. Well, the city of Boynton Beach recently completed a new water plant, and some outcry has developed from dentists because the city hasn't resumed fluoride treatments in the water. Now, this issue is old. It's being recycled because of the issue in Boynton Beach. And people have debated it for decades. Opponents of fluoride treatment have cited concerns over the government's involvement in their drinking water. Some people just don't want the fluoride. But the dentists are saying you need it to be healthy. So I'd be curious to see what you have to say about this fluoride treatment situation. What do you think, Gary? But fluoride in the water or no?
Yeah.
Cavities or no?
No, I think there should be fluoride in the water. I think that was a big debate when I was younger. I mean, and it helped people get rid of cavities and not have cavities. Mm-hmm. When I was a young boy, I mean, everybody had cavities, but they don't see that as much now, and I credit the fluoride.
It surprises me. This is an issue that we see come up at the local government level mm-hmm. from time to time when water treatment plants change or when there's just an upswell and concern about mm-hmm. that. It always surprises me because you think of fluoride as a good thing.
Right.
On the other hand, I guess there's a group of people who are concerned about adding anything to water. Mm-hmm. We do a lot to our water supply to make it safe enough for us to use
and
to be able to trust to come out of the tap. And mm-hmm. so. I don't know that adding fluoride is a threat. I think it's good for us, mm-hmm. but
there's people who will find threats in anything. The anti-vaccination people.
That's true. It's
you know, true. I mean, vaccinations are good, mm-hmm. but you got these anti-vax people, mm-hmm. and I can think of the anti-fluoride people the same mm-hmm. way. You know, they'll find one little thing, and I'm all for fluoride.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how Boynton Beach handles this issue, but. If you have something to say about it, remember you can also write letters, sunsentinel.com/letters, to chime in on these issues or any issue that's on your mind. We'd like to hear from you. Okay? Pot shops.
Pot shops, mm-hmm. yes. This one kind of caught my eye. There's apparently six cities at least in South Florida that are going to ban the marijuana dispensaries, even though it passed. With 3/4 of the voters in the state said they wanted medical marijuana, and in these cities, they voted for it by a tremendous margin, mm-hmm. but some of these city commissioners are coming up with ways that they're saying we don't want them. You know, whether it's a NIMBY thing, they don't want it in my backyard. The best one I've seen is one of the cities is claiming that it's a safety issue because the dispensaries are going to be cash-only businesses, and they don't want, there's a dangerous of threat. Well, if that was true, you wouldn't have ATMs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you might as well ban ATMs because people get cash out of ATMs. Mm-hmm. And I find this horrible. I mean, people voted for medical marijuana. You know, yeah, there'll be some people who will abuse it, but an awful lot of people who are in pain need this, want this, and it was voted for. And I think these city commissioners should keep their nose out of it or respect what the voters decided. So I am all in favor of these dispensaries, and I think these people are crazy. They're just looking for excuses not to have it.
I think there's something to be said for taking precaution and safety measures, but this is something that has been held back for too long. As you said, the voters have made their
point
clear.
By a large margin.
By a large margin, and we need to move ahead with this in a safe way. Gandy, what do you think?
I think part of the uneasiness is the unknown of it.
Of course.
People, as the vote shows you, people support medical marijuana as a way to ease suffering and help people that they can relate to that they've seen go through difficulty. But you also have images of what's happened out west where marijuana has been legalized in a more liberal way and more of a recreational use. And I think we've seen the shops that have popped up and the funny names of the products and the different clientele.
But have there been problems with that?
Well, I'm just telling you.
No, I mean, I don't see crime running rampant there.
No, crime's not running rampant, but I think if you had to pick between neighbors to pop up next to your neighborhood, pot shop may not be at the top of the list.
Right.
Now, that being said, I don't think local governments should just slam the door mm-hmm. to something that's new
I'll
and
take a pot
unknown.
Shop. I'll take a pot shop over some of my neighbors right now, but that's beside the point. I got a guy with guns living down the street. Anyway.
We'll see we're out of time already. Wow. We'll see what the cities do with the issue, but it's definitely, something we should keep an eye on. I think we're on to last minute thoughts.
Yeah, I have one thing to tell you today. in case anybody's looking. This is the.
I didn't think you could get any cooler, Gary, but there you go.
Hey, I am Mr. Cool, the object of the day. Make sure you're wearing this or using your iPhone or something when you go out to look at the eclipse today. But that's not my final thought. I noticed we lost two comedy kings over the weekend, Dick Gregory and Jerry Lewis, who were well known for their comedy, but I think we should look at what they did other than their comedy. Dick Gregory was an activist, a civil rights activist, and his comedy was very tart, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the first who did that. And he was banned in some places because he was, you know. But Dick Gregory was, but he was a civil rights activist. He kept the cause going, and he was very influential. Jerry Lewis, most of the people in the audience, the younger people, probably don't remember his movies with Dean Martin that were very funny, hysterical. Mm-hmm. But Jerry Lewis, while he may have been a caricature in his last years, Jerry Lewis raised $2.5 billion for muscular dystrophy. And every year, the Labor Day telethon was a huge thing.
I know him more from that
right.
aspect
people
of his
know
life
know him
than
more
the
for
comedy.
That.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're gone, but their legacy ought to be what they did. I mean, Jerry Lewis helped a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. And Dick Gregory brought a lot of issues to light that had to be brought. So let's remember them for what they did in addition to their comedy. Mm-hmm.
Well, for my parting thought, I've been thinking about President Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club. The event right? The event calendar there is getting a little lighter these days with local organizations, nonprofit groups pulling their plans to hold fundraisers there. And I'm wondering about members at Mar-a-Lago. Are they losing membership? Are new members down? Is there going to be backlash to the president on that front? We were talking earlier how that... That may be how he starts feeling the weight of some of his actions, mm-hmm. if it starts affecting his own pocketbook with these groups leaving and then membership changing. At the beginning of his presidency, Mar-a-Lago doubled its application fee to become a member there. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how that's playing out.
Did they have a waiting list to get in?
Well, they weren't dying to share that information with us. So it's hard to know. It's hard to know. They've had good membership from everything we can tell. Just by increasing their fee, you can tell there's a demand there. They've always, when they opened back in '95, I believe it was. I think they talked about having a 500 member range, mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure if they're still there or in that range still, or have pushed beyond that. But I'm curious about that, mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if people will make their views about the president felt that way.
Right.
Something they should consider.
My parting thought is I want to echo the words of Senator Thurston. He was published today on our in print, Another Viewpoint. You can also check out The Viewpoint online. It's our most recent post. And Senator Perry Thurston is advocating for Mary McLeod Bethune to represent Florida in the Hall of Statues that's in the Capitol. And we've discussed this before, but he is not giving up on this. In the legislative session that just passed, he passed the Florida Senate bill. It unanimously passed in the Senate, but it languished in the House. And so he's going to push this again in the upcoming session. But Bethune, her life and values just illustrated someone who we should be proud of in Florida. And with all the hubbub over what statues should come down, this one should definitely go up. And I would encourage Senator Thurston to not give up on this and keep advocating for it, because it's definitely something that I would like to see her representing Florida in the nation's capital.
Yes, she had a great influence on the state and nationally.
In education in the African-American community. And that's something that we should definitely laud and appreciate.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you.
I think that's it for the day. Thank you for watching SoFly Opinion Live. We're here every Monday at noon. And join us next week for
Don't
another round of discussion. Be safe if you watch the solar eclipse today. And let us know what you think. Again, sunsentinel.com/letters. Thank you for joining us, and have a great week.